I'm Dave Drexler with Inside Art. As our All Sinatra theme program continues, we welcome City Ballet of San Diego's resident choreographer Jeffrey Gonzalez, whose new ballet inspired by the music of Frank Sinatra, Summer Wind, will have its world premiere Friday and Saturday, July 19th and 20th, as part of City Ballet's A Midsummer Night's Dream, Love Makes Fools of Us All, at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Jeff Gonzalez's choreography has been featured in City Ballet productions since 2013. In 2016, he was one of only 10 choreographers selected to be part of the prestigious New York Choreographic Institute, supported by New York City Ballet. And in 2018, Gonzalez was named the Best Contemporary Choreographer for the Regional Youth America Grand Prix. Jeff Gonzalez, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
It's wonderful to be here, Dave. Thank you so much.
Well, I understand that your love of Sinatra's music and maybe the whole Sinatra, you know, package brand goes sure. back a long way.
Oh, yeah. I would say, well, you know, to be honest, the very first dance that I ever performed by myself as a performing dancer was to Frank Sinatra's Luck Be a Lady.
Oh, you're kidding. That is a great launching pad for any young dancer.
I think I set my my bar really high right at the beginning with music. And one of the things that I appreciate so much about Frank is the variety of things that you can get from different types of orchestrations and tempos and just, you know, sentiment and sound. And it just goes for, you know, so much for also male dancing and representing that was a lot of fun.
And the style, his phrasing and style, you know, that has to affect how you choreograph this music as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, audibly, it's always got an exciting sound. It's got a dynamic to it. It's got a flow to it. In any one of the major songs that you can think of off the top of your head, you can probably remember the catchy rhythm. And one of the things I really love about choreographing to it is trying to find the right movements and the right coordination of movements that really highlight that natural rhythm that he kind of puts into his music.
I think you probably are intending to make it a surprise for the audience who's attending to know, you know, to kind of discover which are the tunes that you're doing. So, but tell me about the selection of them and what you were looking for in the vast repertoire of Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there was kind of a crossroads when I was thinking about putting this together and coming up with a playlist that would work. And I fell upon these recordings of these the full orchestrations of instrumental orchestrations of Frank Sinatra, kind of a salute after he passed away. And I fell in love with it. I was like, wow, this is the arrangement is something, you know, because I've also listened to a lot of Frank Sinatra live records in New York or in different places. And I always was amazed about the live records because they always sounded so different than the recordings, because he would just, you know, have a new band leader or whatever it was. They put something together that night and it would just kind of be a flow and you never really knew what you were going to get out of it because he was just performing live for you. So these orchestrations have a flow to them that kind of remind me of like a live Frank show where it's unique because you recognize it immediately, but at the same time, it's all orchestrated. It's all, you know, just instrumental. You hear his voice in your head when you're listening to the song, but you're also just amazed by the level of dynamic of the music that they made for the instrumentals. So it was really, really fabulous to be able to find that. And I wanted to also go through my history of like songs that I love. Like the very first song, I'll just go ahead and tell everybody, it's Luck Be a Lady. It's the very first song I ever used. And it's also the starting point of the Summer Wind. And as it goes through, there's a couple songs in there that I never heard before, believe it or not, that I was like, wow, I've never heard this song before. So I was like, I have to use this because this is like new to me. And then I went back to some other songs that have been used, like one of the more famous songs that have been used for dances, One for My Baby, One for the Road. And that's a very famous piece from a Twilight Art ballet called Sinatra Suite. And I saw that. That was the first time I heard that song, was watching that ballet. And I was like, wow, that's my favorite song. So that's my favorite one that's in there as well. And then just, you know, songs that I've never really thought about being able to use because, you know, they were, you know, just they stand alone amazing, like Summer Wind, something like that. And then being able to use the instrumental version of it gives it a different context and sound. And then I was able to really kind of put something together, a little storyline that kind of works for the piece.
Yeah, this creating a narrative around that with your dancers, you know, who are all adept and
accomplished. Now, they're ballet dancers, of course. Are you including elements of jazz choreography in this as well for them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my training goes back to all different fields and kind of genres of dancing. Like when I was training, I trained in jazz, I trained in, you know, modern contemporary, trained in ballet. A lot of the dancers that are here have had, you know, jazz technical training things. They kind of go hand in hand with ballet training when they're young. So they have touched upon that. And I was able to just, you know, use their natural, amazing skills as ballet dancers to kind of like refine the jazz dancing in a different way and just kind of use their abilities to just shine.
You've got a nice venue and a beautiful summer night there at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. And this is part of a full program of romantic summer music and dance, A Midsummer Night's Dream. Tell us a little bit about the rest of the program this is part of.
A Midsummer Night's Dream is choreographed by my mother-in-law, Bessie Wistrich, and she created this ballet. I'm not sure when it might have been. It was before my time of coming to City Ballet, but the last time we performed it, I was actually in the, it was my first year in the ballet company in 2008. And I had never seen Midsummer Night's Dream before, and I went on to a website and tried to watch a little bit of a version of it so I could get some background information or just something to watch. And there's some really great Shakespearean stories that have become ballets, obviously Romeo and Juliet, Midsummer Night's Dream, and they sparkle. They have a different type of thing going on because the storyline is you know, Shakespearean. So with Betsy's version of it, she has just a lovely array of wonderful choreography that goes along to tell the story of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And then she also has a recorded voice that actually speaks some of the Shakespearean actual text in the performance that just gives it a little bit of a deeper context, a little bit more of an understanding to those that are just, you know, not totally used to, you know, watching just plain ballet with music and dancing. And it's a wonderful piece with, you know, some of the best dancers you're going to see. And the costumes are great. They have a forest theme to some of them and just, you know, really elaborate and just a really fun ballet to come see, especially in a venue like the Epstein Family Amphitheater.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the season for City Ballet, if you're able to.
Sure.
The following show in November portends great and terrifying things as well. it's Dracula, and you're doing it with a real different spin here with the lead character.
Yes. We, you know, at City Ballet, we always like to try to create some sort of attraction to the attraction. And just because this is the way art has always worked and where we are in life now and where we are in time, there's all of these ballets that have been created. There's all of these references to these things. They exist online if you ever wanted to go watch them. So how do you make something that is unseen? How do you make something that really is genuinely a world premiere? So I always thought that that was, you know, the job of a choreographer to try to take that extra step forward. And I was actually hanging out with some of the dancers from the company. We were working on another project earlier last season. And we were just kind of shooting around ideas. I was talking to them about how I wanted to make Dracula something special. It's a wonderful opportunity to create. It's a mixed show with a mixed bill with a couple different pieces on the program with, I believe, a new choreographer that's coming in to work with us. And just some nice, a nice array of things. And I thought, wow, what a great opportunity because there's other things on the program to create something that could be really avant-garde, you know? So I was sitting with one of the dancers and he had mentioned that he had seen a Madonna show, like Madonna's tour this last year. And he went to the concert and he said it was just unbelievable. She's such a great performer. And he mentioned this point of like this, where she's like sitting in a chair and it's just her and it turns around and she looked all powerful. And I just saw it in my head. I was like, wow, that would be really cool if I could. And then it just started to connect where I take a more modern approach to timing of how in the original story, Dracula obviously is slain by Von Helsing, and every, you know, kind of other version, he plays this, you know, character that could be, you know, killed. And it's I thought, you know, wow, how many times have we seen this? And how different would it be if I approached it as if there was like some sort of descendant or some sort of wife or some sort of like extra vampire that he had turned that now kind of like takes over the Dracula name and takes it forward into the future of where, you know, vampires live. And I just thought, wow, that is such an interesting concept. If I could find the music that could really kind of play with that. And I was lucky enough to just kind of put on my my headphones and start listening to some sound. And I came across some really wonderful Chopin. And the Chopin that I was able to pick is some of the music from the Death March. It's got some nocturnes in there and just, you know, really deep, loving, but also kind of like twisted beauty that I thought, let me see what we can make out of this. And we've just started sprinting in that direction ever since.
It sounds really interesting and unique. That's going to be November 9th and 10th at the Balboa Theater. Later, of course, you have the standard-bearing Nutcracker with a live orchestra at the California Center for the Arts Escondido. That'll be, of course, in December. And your experience with the City Ballet version of that, maybe you can share that with the audience.
You know, our Nutcracker is one of my favorite versions because, as you know, it's a staple for every ballet company. It's a staple also in San Diego for a lot of ballet schools and people that like to put on kind of like a seasonal recital for their students. So there's a lot of healthy competition out there for people that are kind of looking for seasonal shows to go to. Ours encapsulates all of the best parts of any Nutcracker, where the beginning of it has a great story, our set, our costumes, everybody's involved. There's never really anybody on stage that's just kind of filler, which is really wonderful. The show has just been running for 30 years here in San Diego. And with that, it's just developed over and over and over and over again to just have the maximum of performance from every angle and every part and every person and dancer on stage. So it's just got a lot of firepower. And if you're ever looking to come see a show that has just all of the pieces, City Ballets has got all the pieces.
And that will be followed by Swan Lake Act 2 in March and Carmen with the full orchestra May 3rd and 4th. And where can people get more information about that? And, of course, the Midsummer Night's Dream, which will have Summer Wind as a part of that.
Well, you know, cityballet.org is our website, and that has all of our updated information. Also, following us on Instagram, on X, on Facebook is really wonderful as well. Just City Ballet of San Diego, all the information is always posted.
And, of course, City Ballet is also a teaching institution, and maybe you can share a little bit about that.
Yes, actually, my wife and I and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law also run the school, City Ballet School, which is located in Pacific Beach. It has been, you know, the backbone of having a company in town. And it here is also to have an institution in which you can teach classical arts. So they kind of go hand in hand. And we've been blessed enough to have a very successful school with very successful students over the years. And it's a lot of fun working with kids. And we love to give back to our community.
I've been speaking with Jeffrey Gonzalez, who's the choreographer in residence for City Ballet of San Diego, who will be presenting his world premiere, Summer Wind, on July 19th and 20th, Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. for both shows at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Thanks very much for joining me, Jeffrey, and we hope to speak with you again soon.
Thank you, Dave. Take care.
So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, face the music and dance.
City Ballet of San Diego's 2024-25 season opens with A Midsummer Night's Dream, Love Makes Fools of Us All, featuring the world premiere of Jeffrey Gonzalez's Summer Wind, Friday and Saturday, July 19th and 20th at 8 p.m. at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. You can purchase tickets and learn more about the entire City Ballet season and ongoing ballet classes at cityballet.org.
Before they ask us to come up with the bill, and while we still have got that chance, face that music and dance.
Inside Art is made possible with support from the members of Jazz 88.3. Replays and extended versions of every Inside Art broadcast are available online at jazz88.org/InsideArt. Again, my thanks to Jeffrey Gonzalez and Chuck Granata. For Jazz 88.3, I'm Dave Drexler. Join me again on air and online for another edition of Inside Art. Breaking Jazz is next.
Let's face the music and dance, dance. Let's face the music. Look at that music.